broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
How many other people? How many other demented people?
It was a big year for 3D movies, Toy Story.
She stuck her hand up on the side of my face this morning, and I leaned over.
I want to thank everybody at Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, for his...
No, Phil, get off me.
Now, isn't that lovely?
Mark Zuckerberg for his what? World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where through the looking glass we go and beyond. Going places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL, and our website, philhendryshow.com. If you'd like to watch our show, you could do that. With a backstage pass, you can watch live streaming video of our show each and every night. And soon we're going to be enhancing our video to, it's going to look good, you know. So we're enhancing everything, you know. We're enhancing our video to make me look better because I ain't enhancing nothing. Anyway, we also, of course, have our archives. We've got thousands of hours of archives. They are being turned into downloads as we speak. And we are also filling in the archives with years and months and days that that were not there, quite frankly, on the original platform. So when we are finished, and we should be done this year with all of it, it's going to be the biggest thing to hit radio since, well, our website first went up. All right, so check it out, philhendryshow.com. Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman are with us. So would you guys, I know I made you watch the Golden Globes. You like it?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I thought I'd be bored.
Yeah.
And the reason why we watched the Golden Globes for the second year in a row is because of the host, Ricky Gervais. Because I've not watched the Golden Globes, have you?
No, I not even know what it is. Uh-oh.
No, but who watches? No one watches the Golden Globes because the Golden Globes are nothing to watch. The Golden Globes are something having to do with the foreign press. There's nothing wrong with them, but it's not the Academy Awards. There's other things that are on television. We don't care, and that's, you know, you can see some stars. Yes, that is true, but you have to wade through a lot of garbage, like a lot of these award shows. It's just a matter of seeing a star or two. Well, all of these award shows would be through the roof popular. But they're not, because they have varying degrees of significance to us. And they're made significant to us for a number of reasons, one of which is how accessible the show is. And who makes the show accessible? The host. And who is hosting the Golden Globes for the second year in a row? Ricky Gervais, he of the original Office on BBC. He brought the Office to the United States as an executive producer and put it up here in the United States on NBC, and he's done a great many other funny things. The guy's just out of the park funny, in my opinion. Now, here's the headline, though. Golden Globe audience up, Gervais hosting panned. By who? I heard someone say today they think that that panning, in other words, that they didn't like him, is bullcrap.
Yeah, I think that, too. I think they're saying they didn't like him. They make a big deal out of nothing.
Well, what do you mean? You're saying that they did like him?
Yeah, they're saying that they're making up the fact they didn't like him to create a phony baloney controversy. That might well be. There were some quotes from Robert Downey Jr., who Gervais had a couple of pointed things to say about being in the lockup at L.A. County Jail, a drug addict. I mean, it's just funny as hell, man. And Robert Downey was quoted backstage as saying some things that he didn't appreciate, this and that. So, you know, it doesn't sound like it's a phony indignation. It sounds as if people, to some extent, didn't like what he had to say. But according to The Hollywood Reporter, his hosting was panned. It was only panned by people in the industry, not by the folks at home, because everybody that I've talked to who watched it thought it was funnier than hell. I did. President Philip Burke, who is the Hollywood Foreign Press Association president, also felt, according to this report, that Gervais went too far as the host of the Golden Globes. And when they asked him, is he going to be back, he said, no comment. He said he definitely crossed the line and some of the things were totally unacceptable, but that's Ricky. Well, if that's Ricky, then you cats knew that when you hired him, and so that's why we think it's phony, and that's why we think he'll be back next year, and that's why we think, and you don't need to phony it up. Ricky Gervais opened last night's Golden Globes with a joke about actor Charlie Sheen.
Welcome to the 68th annual Golden Globe Awards, live from the Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. It's going to be a night of partying and heavy drinking.
Right on.
Or as Charlie Sheen calls it, breakfast. Wow. Whoa.
Yeah, that was a dud, but then it got good after that. Here, Gervais quickly took shots at Johnny Depp, Angelina Jolie, and their movie The Tourist, which was nominated for Best Comedy, Best Actor, and Best Actress, but that everyone universally agreed sucked.
It was a big year for 3D movies. Toy Story, Despicable Me, Tron. Seems like everything this year was three-dimensional. Except the characters in The Tourist. I feel bad about that joke. No, I'll tell you why. I'm jumping on the bandwagon because I haven't even seen The Tourist. Who has? But no, it must be good because it's nominated. So shut up, okay?
Yeah. Here's Gervais. He felt that Sex and the City 2 was robbed of a... This is a great joke. He felt Sex and the City 2 was robbed of a nomination.
There were a lot of big films that didn't get nominated this year. Nothing for Sex and the City 2. No, I was sure the Golden Globe for special effects would go to the team that airbrushed that poster. well, great job. Girls, we know how old you are. I saw one of you in an episode of Bonanza.
Didn't he have another line about zombies?
Yeah, he said, zombies are great. What about Sex and the City 2?
Was that him or was that Andy Levy?
Nah, man, it was Levy on Twitter.
No, it wasn't. It was him.
No, it was Andy Levy on Twitter. Anyway, it's a good joke. Ricky Gervais, Ricky Gervais would have said it. All right, and perhaps the most awkward joke of the night came at the expense of two well-known Hollywood Scientologists.
Also not nominated, I love you, Philip Morris, Jim Carrey and Ewan McGregor, two heterosexual actors pretending to be gay. So the complete opposite of some famous Scientologists, then. Probably. My lawyers helped me with the wording of that joke. They're not here. Okay.
Some of Gervais' most biting humor was directed at the celebrities he was introducing. Here he takes aim at Robert Downey Jr.
He's the star of Iron Man. Two girls and a guy. Wonder Boys. Sorry, these porn films. Kiss, kiss, bang, bang. Bowfinger. Really? Yeah. Up the Academy. Come on. He has done all those films, but many of you in this room probably know him best from such facilities as the Betty Ford Clinic and Los Angeles County Jail. Please welcome Robert Downey Jr.
I'm telling you, that's beautiful stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, when you hear that now, you know, maybe they're serious.
You know what? If the guy says, if Philip Burke, the president of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, says that that's Ricky, then what? How can you possibly get anybody to believe that you didn't know the guy was going to do this kind of humor and that suddenly you are shocked and stunned and he's not going to be back and no comment? I think he's full of crap.
I don't know, man. Then I get a joke. It sounds pretty bad. I mean, it's funny and everything, but you get whatever that guy. I don't know who that guy is. The one guy?
What guy?
Robert Downey.
Robert Downey Jr., he was in, what was he in, Robert? Come on, man, help me out. What was Robert Downey Jr. in? He was in Chaplin. He made Chaplin, Iron Man, you know.
I don't know.
He's a great actor, believe me. Let me tell you what, he's a great actor. But he did seem like he was pissed off after all that stuff. Here is another comment from this guy, what's his name, Burke. He says, any of the references to individuals is certainly not something the Hollywood Foreign Press condones. Robert Downey Jr., the butt, it was pretty funny though, man. The butt of one of Gervais's jokes said the show was, Robert Downey Jr. had a pretty good line. He walked out, other than the fact that the show has been hugely mean-spirited with mildly sinister undertones, I think it's going pretty good, don't you? And that got a laugh.
Yeah, that was good. He should have just let it go at that.
Exactly. Now, that's a good point. He should have just let it go at that. But he then he went on for about, I don't know, another couple of minutes on what how mean-spirited the show was, and it, none of it was as funny as Gervais had been. So many critics seem to agree. L.A. Times TV critic Mary Mack. Now, the L.A. Times, always off the mark. Never. They haven't had their finger on the pulse. They haven't had their finger on anything, man. For a long time. Anyway, Mary McNamara at the LA Times wrote on Monday that it quickly became clear that his material wasn't just falling flat. It was making many audience members and presenters uncomfortable and even angry. No, his material didn't fall flat, Mary. Isn't that amazing that you can be a TV critic and not know how the audience is reacting? I mean, you're listening to it from inside the theater. Washington Post reviewer Hank Stuver wrote, somehow Gervais has lost some of his ability to be funny about being true. You blew it, too. Gervais went after Burke personally with this joke. Gervais went after Burke personally with this joke when introducing him, saying, I just had to help him off the toilet and pop his teeth in.
Who is this guy, Burke? I don't even know what a guy is.
He's the president of the Hollywood Foreign Press. This is the guys that sponsored this award ceremony. While Burke traditionally vets every word of the Globe script, he says that Gervais does not allow that pre-show scrutiny as host. That's not how Ricky works. Well, if Ricky doesn't allow you guys to vet his copy, if he doesn't allow you guys to vet his routine, and now you're all bugged, you know what? You're weird. Why would you invite a cat like that to host this thing, knowing who he is? Now, get a load of this. Burke says, I had absolutely no idea what Ricky was going to say, so anything I heard was at the same time you heard it. When you hire Ricky Gervais, you expect the unexpected. As for widespread rumors that Gervais was lectured during the show or kept from reappearing at key moments, Burke dismissed them as ridiculous. It was always planned that in the section of important awards, he was not going to be part of the show. He was never called on the carpet or given a warning or anything else. Burke would not comment whether he would recommend to the membership to have Gervais back next year. In a moment, in a statement released Monday, a representative for the HFPA said, we love the show. It was a lot of fun and obviously has a lot of people talking. When you hire a comedian like Ricky Gervais, one expects in your face, sometimes outrageous material. Certainly in this case, he pushed the envelope and occasionally went too far. The HFPA would never condone some of his personal remarks. Overall, however, the show was among the best we've ever had, and we're pleased. And not only that, they had the highest ratings of any Golden Globes, I think, if I'm looking at that correctly. Yes, they did. All right, we're going to come back with some other stuff. One of the things we're going to come back with are the actual awards that they gave out. And depending on your perspective, a halftime show at a lacrosse game either went horribly wrong or was incredibly sexy, kind of like Ricky Gervais. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry.
The best one,
Bud, and I got to agree with Bud. Welcome back here to Phil Hendry Show. The best thing of the night that Ricky Gervais did is he was talking about Hugh Hefner, and I can't even get into it, but it was a riot. It was just a riot. He's talking about Hefner and his young girlfriend, and somebody saying to her, "Don't look at it," and she's dry heaving. And you got enough. All right, The Social Network and Glee were the big winners at the 2011 Golden Globes. The big winners at last night's Golden Globes. Best Film, Best Picture, Drama, The Social Network. Best Picture, Musical or Comedy, The Kids Are All Right. Best Director, David Fincher, Social Network. And then Best Actor in a Drama, Colin Firth in The King's Speech. Best Actress, Drama, Natalie Portman, Black Swan. Best Actress, Comedy, Annette Bening. She was really excited about that. And she's a nice lady, beautiful lady. Best Actor in a Comedy, great actor, Paul Giamatti in Barney's Version. The best TV series was Boardwalk Empire, the Steve Buscemi on HBO, which I haven't watched. I don't know why.
Yeah, how come, man? You all love that gangster stuff.
I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know why I've not watched that. I better, because I guess it's good, because I don't want to watch any more gangster stuff, I guess. I don't know. Best TV series comedy, Glee. Best actor for a drama, Steve Buscemi for Boardwalk Empire. The best actress, Katie Sagal, Sons of Anarchy. The best actor for a comedy, Jim Parsons in The Big Bang Theory. The best actress was Laura Linney in The Big C. And then we have actress in a series, miniseries, or made-for-TV movie, Chris Colfer, Glee, and Jane Lynch in Glee. And there you have it, man.
What are you going to say about Colin Firth?
Well, Colin Firth really, he's a great actor. Did I talk about this yesterday? I don't even know if I did or not. But if you saw the King's Speech, the reason why I thought his performance was the best of anybody's, and they agreed. This guy played in this movie King George of England at the outbreak of World War II. Now, understand what was going on in England. His older brother, Edward, decided he wanted to marry this American chick.
Yeah, well, what was bad about that?
You're not allowed to do that. You can't. In those days, the heir to the throne couldn't marry someone who was divorced or a commoner or some bullcrap. I don't know.
Yeah, so it couldn't marry an American, right?
I don't know if you couldn't marry an American. There were some rules that he broke. King Edward. This is after the death of the king before. I don't know his name. King George, I guess. Anyway. So,
yeah, but the other guy was King George.
They had a bunch of King Georges, okay? This is King George the Sixth is the guy that the movie's about. Anyway, so,
does that make the other guy the Fifth?
I think he was the Fifth, yeah. But just...
Shut up, man.
So anyway, make a long story short, Edward abdicates. That means he says, I don't want to be king anymore if I can't be with the woman I love. This is all a matter of historical record. You can look it up. They even got the recording of him saying, I want to be with the woman that I love, and so on and so forth.
He didn't do that.
Yes, he did, man. He got on the radio and he told the British people, I want to be with the woman I love. I will not be king. So he abdicates, and that means the younger brother, King George the Sixth, becomes the king. Now, here's a guy who is married to Princess Elizabeth. Now, this is the lady that eventually became the Queen Mum. And this is a guy who's got a stutter. Nobody knows this except him and the family. He's got a stutter. George the Sixth's predecessor was Edward the Eighth. Yeah, it was his older brother. So anyway.
What do you mean a stutter?
I mean, he stutters. He's like... So anyway, Colin Firth plays this stuttering king. And Jeffrey Rush plays the teacher, the man who taught him and got his stutter under control. And it's a beautiful story because this guy, who the king and everybody thought was a speech therapist, he was not. They thought he was a pathologist or a doctor. He was not. The guy just hung his shingle out as someone who could help you with speech problems. He had learned his trade in World War I working as a medical officer with men who had shell shock. And so he wasn't a doctor, but through his experience working with these guys who had shell shock, he developed these techniques. And when he left the army and left the service in World War I, and he went into the private world, he began to help other people with these speech impediments. And so the queen, or the future queen, this Elizabeth, comes to him and says, you know, one of the princes, I don't know what the hell he was, the Prince of Wales or something, he's got this problem. And the movie's beautiful because he insists, you're not going to be the king, I'm going to call you Birdie. I'm calling you by the nickname they all call you. They called him Birdie, the king, the future king. So he was indignant and he didn't like it. But gradually these two men become very close friends. And the greatest thing about the performance by Firth, if you listen to the real speech that King George gave at the beginning of World War II, where he told the British people, we're going to war again, and we wish we were not, but... in our lifetime, this will be the second war, and we are going to persevere. It's a very famous speech, and if you listen to it, Colin Firth got the man's vocalizations down pat. I mean, just perfect. And you are taken into that room on that day when King George gave this speech to the British nation, and he was in that room with his speech teacher, who said to him, just pretend like you're talking to me. He was nervous as hell. He didn't think he was going to get through it. He was sweating buckets. And he got through this speech brilliantly. And it's one of the most famous ever given by a monarch. And it was rousing and it inspired the British people. And King George and that Queen Elizabeth became two of the most popular monarchs England has ever had. They stayed in Buckingham Palace even during the Blitz. There was no running water in the palace at times. They were living on cots. They had no clean anything. They lived as the British people did, and they went into the bombed out areas and sort of gained a solidarity with the British people. So they're very popular. But at the beginning of the war was this poor stuttering man who didn't think he could ever be the king. And at one point, he was a naval officer in World War I. That's what George the Sixth was. He was a Navy guy. And he said, I'm a naval officer, I'm not a king. And he proved otherwise. But anyway, the movie's great. And Firth plays this guy to the absolute T. What's the matter, bud?
Hey,
what are you crying?
Yeah.
What are you crying for?
Just a bad story you told and everything.
Well, don't be crying, man. I didn't mean it to be sad.
No, it's not sad.
What are you crying for?
I don't know.
Will you get out of here? These guys are Anyway, we've got a little clip here from Natalie Portman. You want to hear this? Yes, we do. Here's Natalie Portman. She thanked her fiancé, Benjamin Millipede. Is that the guy's name, Millipede? After winning the award for Best Actress for her role in Black Swan. Natalie Portman.
Thank you to Benjamin, who is helping me continue this creation of creating more life. Benjamin choreographed the film, and also you might remember him in the movie as the guy when they ask, would you sleep with that girl? And he's like, no. He's the best actor. It's not true. He totally wants to sleep with me.
Wow. So there you go. That's why we wanted to hear that one, man. I guess I'm sounding a little retarded. Excuse me, not retarded. I mean a little...
You said retard.
I did not. And then Jane Lynch. We can't leave without hearing Jane Lynch.
I think the great thing about Glee for me anyway, the greatest thrill is that I get these 14-year-old kids coming up to me vibrating out of their bodies saying how happy Glee makes them. And, you know, when I have the time and I'm not eating and don't want to be bothered, I'll give them a moment of my time.
That's fantastic. All right. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming up, do we really need a bigger-sized Starbucks cup? Yes! 877-876-PHIL, philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry.
Website philhendryshow.com, and these news stories for you now with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman along the way. And let's see. Oh yeah, philhendryshow.com. I already said that. And did I mention that we have the?
Yeah, you did.
Well, I'll mention it again. We have what were previously lost 1994 best of CDs from Miami, from our days in Miami. We now have found very limited edition in the cellophane still, right?
Yeah, these are like they've never been played, never been opened up.
So these babies are in the original packaging, and we'll see how many we have, and then at some point put those up for sale in our shop, philhendryshow.com. A lap dance at a Boston Blazers lacrosse game has fans vowing not to return as management apologizes. The Boston Blazers, this is a lacrosse team. You know what that is, bud?
Uh-uh.
Lacrosse is, what is it, Robert?
Yeah, it's like the Indians made it up, you know?
Yeah.
And they have a net, and they throw the ball back and forth with a net.
You mean like highlight?
No, not like highlight.
No, it ain't highlight, man. They run down the field with a ball and throw it in the net.
It's like it's a little net on the end of a stick, and the ball's in the net, and they go down the field throwing the ball back and forth.
Yeah, whatever.
That's about how most people think of it, too. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, the Boston Blazer lacrosse team lost a few loyal fans this weekend after a scandalous halftime show left spectators covering their kids' eyes. The halftime, the halftime bit at Boston's TD Garden. Is this a indoor?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's supposed to be outdoor.
What was it doing indoor? Anyway, the halftime bit at Boston's TD Garden on Saturday night featured scantily clad dancers competing to see who could give the Blazers mascot Scorch the best lap dance with a not-so-family-friendly cap. The not-so-family-friendly rap song Low blasted through the stadium. The racy stunt was caught on YouTube and outraged many fans, especially those who took their kids to see what was supposed to be an all-ages lacrosse game. On Sunday, the team president and GM Doug Refew posted a statement apologizing for the sexy show on the team's Facebook page. The Boston Blazers halftime act for Saturday's game was clearly not executed according to plan. We're extremely disappointed with elements of the halftime show. We'd intended to provide an entertaining and fun halftime environment for our fans, and that is not what transpired. The Blazer organization values our fans and have taken their feedback very seriously. All right, so this is not the first time I mentioned that the LA Extreme and the old XFL had a couple of chicks in hot tubs in the end zones, in the end zone in a couple of their games. And this got to got the attention of obviously the press. And I think what's very interesting here is, I don't know why, and I certainly would not, you know, if I had young children, I wouldn't abide it. But there seems to be some thought process on the part of some men that it's perfectly fine to expose children to this. Now, as I've said, I'm a man, and you can pretty much take me anywhere you'd like, and we'll, you know, into the funkiest dump you can think of, and in any border town you can think of, and I'm fine. But I just don't necessarily think that's for kids, see?
Yeah, but they didn't have a donkey show.
I'm not talking about a donkey show, bud. I'm just talking about topless women with children. Not good, okay?
Why?
What do you mean, why? The fact that you guys even asked that question shocks the hell out of me. Why? Because that's not for kids, that's why. Now, if they say it's a family environment and they've got women who don't have tops on, well, it's not a family environment. I don't give a damn. If it was all men, not a problem. If it was all men and women, not a problem. If it was all adults, 18 and older, not a problem. But children, no. And this is not a difficult thing to get. This is not a hard thing to understand. But if they say, you know, to some stupid ass that they hired as the entertainment director of some sports team, you know, we got young men out there, so, okay, so this guy, not thinking, hires a lap dance for the team mascot. And those team mascots, as everybody knows, should all be taken out and shot, with rare exception.
Well, I don't know, that Philly, there's a couple that are pretty funny.
One? Which ones? Who?
Yeah, who?
I don't know. Wasn't that Philly Fanatic?
Philly Fanatic? You know something? I don't know what's wrong with you, man. No, none of them are any good. They all suck. They're all based on that San Diego chicken, which was funny. And a couple of the other ones were funny. But after that, it just... So now comes the team mascot for the Blazers, and he gets a lap dance. So the team gets a complaint, and the team is stunned. And what they've done, basically, is they've rolled back any goodwill they've developed with their fan base. And it's a professional lacrosse team. You know, you would think they're having a hard time drawing fans. It doesn't sound like anything I'd go to see. It's not that I don't have anything against lacrosse. I just don't care, you know. There's no tradition of lacrosse in my family. Nobody's played it. I've never watched a whole game. It looks boring, and so there you go. One commentator wrote it was shameful. The Blazers, one of 10 teams in the National Lacrosse League, feature the captain of the U.S. national team and one of America's most recognizable names in lacrosse, Casey Powell, with tickets going for as cheap as $10. It's a well-attended attraction for kids in an area where lacrosse is extremely popular. That is in the Boston area, New England. But the team's 2-0 start might not be enough to keep fans coming back to TD Garden for the rest of the season. As season ticket holders, we also felt that the halftime show was completely inappropriate for your family atmosphere, one commenter added. Shame on you. Got to quit being stupid. The other thing about professional sports and professional sports teams, we got a lot of them. And with a rare exception, they never really take off. Now, arena football.
Yeah, I was going to say, arena football been around.
Arena football's been around with a lot of different changes, a lot of different teams. It's been around for over 20 years. So arena football, an option for people who cannot afford season tickets to the big teams, the big NFL teams. You can go to your arena football league and go and see the team. Like, I had season seats for the LA Avengers.
Now, what happened to those?
I gave them back. I mean, I didn't give back. I stopped buying them. But I got those because we have no professional football in L.A. I got sick and tired of not having anything to, you know, not watching any football. So we went down there, and I had great seats, and we had a lot of fun. And I think that's one of the reasons why football, why arena football took off. Now, you got the WNBA.
No, nobody's going to go see the WNBA. That's fake.
Yeah, they're propping that up.
You think they're propping it up, huh?
Yeah, I think they are.
Well, they got a good following in some towns. The WNBA has been hanging around, though, for a long time. A long time, man. Close to, what, 12, 15 years? I don't know. But then after that, it all, you know, forget it, you know? No one, it's just nothing. And lacrosse, I don't give a damn. And what, do you remember that national roller hockey thing they had?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm going to go out and watch guys on roller skates? Somebody's got to get with it. Now they got another football league, the United Football League. You know about this one?
I heard about it. I don't know when they're playing, but I don't know.
Yeah, the United Football League, they playing now or are they playing later in the year? I don't know. They play 11 games in the season, whatever. The WNBA was founded in 96. We got NFL football. All we can handle is football, baseball, basketball, hockey. That's it, man. That is it. And I can barely follow football. And football's the easiest of them all. It's only 16 stinking games, playoffs, Super Bowl. Goodbye. Get out of here. You're done. You know.
What about baseball? You like that?
No, I'm not interested in baseball. I'm interested in basketball in the playoffs. And I'm interested in hockey sort of in the playoffs. But I don't care, man. I watch football, and that's about all I can stand. That's about all I can handle.
Yeah, but what about the rest of the year and everything, you know?
The rest of the year what, man? I won't sit on my ass and look at football. Look at the sports on TV.
What do you do?
What do you mean, what do? I got a life. I do other stuff. I sit on my ass in the autumn, and I look at football on TV, and thank you. There, Super Bowl, great, thanks. Gee, Phil, what are you going to do now? I'm not watching any more sports.
Yeah, but what about like the NBA and everything?
I watch the NBA. If the Lakers are in, I watch the finals. That's it. I'm done. No baseball, none of that. No, 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 no. I don't have enough time, man. I don't have enough time left on this planet. Sooner or later, I'm going to be checking out, and then it'll be over. It'll be, oh, don't start crying again.
I'm just kidding.
All right. Coffee addicts have a new reason to celebrate. Starbucks announced Sunday it will begin offering a new menu, a new item on the menu, the 31-ounce Trenta cup. Well, how about that? The new size is 7 ounces larger than the current venti and will be used exclusively for iced coffee, iced tea, and lemon beverages, the company said in a press release. For a lucky few, Tuesday is the day to supersize your favorite coffee treat. In Arizona, Texas, Florida, and 14 other states will roll out the new size on January 18th, followed by California on February the 1st. So if you can't wait to get your big Trenta-sized cup of iced coffee, get over to Arizona, Texas, Florida, and 14 other states, and you can really get wired up, jacked up before February 1. Until then, February 1's the day in California. Love it or leave it. Sorry.
Wow.
The rest of the country will have to wait until May the 3rd. Ha ha.
How come they do that anyway?
How come they do that? I don't know. They just do it. They just make the rest of the country wait because we're the biggest markets. California's a big market. Florida's a big market. Texas is a big market. I don't know how Arizona made the cut. Anyway, the rest of the country will have to wait until May 3rd when all of the coffee shops in the U.S. will begin serving the Trenta. Starbucks Corp. has unveiled a variety of changes over the past several months. Now, this is one I didn't get this. Do you go to McDonald's?
Yeah, I go sometime.
Well, get a load of this. Over the past several months, as they step up competition with their newest rival, McDonald's McCafe.
Yeah, the McCafe's got, like, coffee and cappuccino, and they got biscotti or...
They got bichetti.
Bichetti? What the hell is that?
Bichrudo or bichudo.
Bichudo? What are you talking about, man? Anyway... In 2009, the world's largest fast food chain... are you talking about those little...
Yeah, those cookies.
I don't know. What are those little cookies called, man? In 2009, the world's largest fast food chain took a new approach to their menu and offered a variety of coffee house-style beverages, including frappes, fruit smoothies, lattes, at much cheaper prices than Starbucks equivalents. But Starbucks continues to stay ahead of the curve because their coffee is actually drinkable, and McDonald's, it's, biscotti is what it's called.
Well, what's bruschetta?
Bruschetta, man, is an hors d'oeuvre. Bruschetta. It's a biscotti.
Yeah, biscotti. They put that little thing in a coffee.
Says here McDonald's does mocha, lattes, caramel mocha, cappuccino, iced mochas, lattes, frappes. Oh, and they're all, you can all barely keep them down. They're so good. All right, well, good luck, man. Coming up here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, our number 877-876-PHIL. What happens when you smoke in a bus in front of the driver? He kicks your ass off of the bus. Also, the Japanese think that they're going to bring back the woolly mammoth by apparently cloning it. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. The
world-famous Bill Hendry Show.
Keep that music up there, man. Keep that music hot until I start talking. Now you can roll that music down as I just start talking. Roll the music down when you hear my voice, but only when you hear my voice. There you go. We got a great engineer. Great engineer. 877-87. Sorry, I forgot your name, man. You're brand new. But anyway, Jason will put their, put it up on the screen.
Yeah.
It's Nick. It's Rick. It's Bick. It's Rick. Sorry, Rick. But, you know, I butchered up Don's name for, like, the first 3 weeks, too. So 877-876-PHIL. Good job tonight, though, man. Seriously. All right. And because Charles is back in D.C. and they're putting together something. I don't know what. They're putting together a special surprise party. Long extinct mammoth. You know what that is?
Yeah, it's like a big elephant, right?
What?
It's a big elephant, bud. It's a gigantic elephant. And it had hair.
That's one I seen in that museum the one time.
Right. It's the long-extinct woolly mammoth by using cloning technology to bring the ancient pachyderm back to life in around 5 years' time. Now, I know it sounds like something out of a goofy sci-fi because the Japanese made those marvelous movies Godzilla, Gamera, and Monster X and all that jazz, but these are actual Japanese scientists, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, they're going to do the same damn thing. And I'm not trying to make a joke about, you know, what if they mutate, you know, there's a mutation and everything.
Yeah, don't worry about it, right? You know, don't try not to think about, you know, Godzilla destroying Tokyo, because a woolly mammoth ain't going to do it.
Yeah, it's giant.
It ain't giant. It's big. It's a big damn elephant. The researchers will try to revive the species by obtaining tissue this summer from the carcass of a mammoth preserved in a Russian research laboratory. Now, this mammoth that the Russians have, by the way, is a baby. And
what do you mean they got a mammoth?
They found a woolly mammoth preserved in ice, probably about 15,000 years old, something like that. The mammoth went extinct during the Ice Age. It didn't live much longer after the... In fact, the Ice Age is pretty much what... Or the ending of the Ice Age is what did in the woolly mammoth. The Russians found a mammoth baby, a baby mammoth elephant, preserved in ice. And they still have the carcass of this creature in ice. According to the Japanese, preparations to realize this goal have been made. This according to Akiri Iritani, the leader of the team and a professor emeritus of Kyoto University. He was talking to the Mass Circulation Daily, the whatever the hell it is, the Tokyo Times or something, you know.
Yeah.
Under the plan... The nuclei of mammoth cells will be inserted into an elephant's egg cell from which the nuclei have been removed to create an embryo containing mammoth genes. The embryo will then be inserted into the elephant's uterus in the hope that the animal will eventually give birth to a baby mammoth. The elephant is the closest modern relative of the mammoth, a huge woolly mammal believed to have died out with the last ice age. Some mammoth remains still retain usable tissue samples, making it possible to recover cells for cloning, unlike dinosaurs, which disappeared around 65 million years ago and whose remains exist only as fossils, unlike what you've seen in that movie, Jurassic Park.
Yeah, but he said they could.
Well, they lied. Lousy, stinking liars.
Yeah, they can't bring back no dinosaur like Jurassic Park.
No, they cannot. Now, this is pretty standard cloning procedure. Because, you know, when you take the egg of any animal and you empty it out, per se, you just have the egg and you put into that whatever genes you want. So, in other words, people were thinking, oh, wow, does that make it half mammoth, half elephant? No, it's a fully woolly, man. That's what we're calling it.
We call it woolly bully.
Yeah, it's a fully woolly bully mammoth. And anyway.
What are you talking about?
I'm just making a joke, man. It's the woolly mammoth. In the egg of an elephant, and the reason being that the elephant can gestate this creature the best. And by that I mean carry it to term, be pregnant with it. You're not going to put a woolly mammoth egg, for instance, into a mouse, are you?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
Yeah, a mouse, hell, man, unless it was a big mouse.
You couldn't find a mouse big enough, so it would be in an elephant. And so then comes the woolly mammoth. Now, the only thing that quite possibly could go wrong, but because this creature would be born under laboratory circumstances, would be any kind of a mother-baby relationship disrupted because the baby may be rejected by the mother. But I don't think that'll be the case because you're going to have all of these Japanese doctors hanging around with baby bottles, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work. So...
That Yeah, boy, that space age. What are they going to make it for?
I don't know why they're going to make it. You know, I don't know. But to say that they can. And, you know, let's face it, it would be interesting to have an animal like that. But it would be kind of sad for the little guy to be just the only woolly mammoth around, huh?
Yeah, they better write a song about being the only woolly mammoth on Earth, you know. And it goes something like, well, I'll write it up. But I am feeling it, you know.
Yeah, that's great, man. Wow.
What are you talking about, like a blues song?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you write that up, man. Now, it's very interesting to note, and I'll just say this to you guys before we leave the air this evening. Where we live here in North America, 15,000 years ago, and we know this because of the La Brea tar pits that are right over here at L.A. and places all over the country, 15,000 years ago, if you were to look out onto the prairies of North America, you would see elephant and you would see camels, because camels evolved here in North America and migrated to Asia and Africa.
Wait a minute. What are you saying?
It's true. It's true. Camels originated here and migrated to North America and Africa, Asia and Africa. And there's one other creature that evolved in North America, I believe, and that is the cat. And by cat, I mean the big wildcats, I think. The saber-tooth and others migrated into Asia and into Africa, and eventually their progeny, you know, their offspring, became the lions and the tigers that we know. So it wasn't all, it's very interesting. Mankind came out of Africa, but the animal world evolved in different spots because they were all different species.
What do you mean camels, man? Like the ones they got in Arabia?
Yes, Arabian camels were here in North America. But if you go to the La Brea tar pits, you're going to find the bones of all kinds of whack animals, man. You ain't going to believe it. They got elephants. They got mammoths. They got, you know, they got everything down there.
What do they got, like a Morro Bay kangaroo rat?
What do you mean a Morro Bay kangaroo rat? Yes, I guess they do.
Oh, so that didn't evolve in Africa.
I guess not, if it had the name Morro Bay kangaroo rat.
Might have been the African kangaroo rat.
Yeah, right. And then they found it in Morro Bay and changed the name. Our show is produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Rick Johnson. And, of course, our associate producer, Dan Northcraft. PhilHenryShow.com. And don't forget that Morro Bay kangaroo rat, man. That was a long trip from Africa. Say now, you know.
Ho, ho.
Phil Henry.